Ray wrote that song, all of you, most of you know. She wrote 9,000 hymns. Incredible. And when she was 6 months old, the doctors put some salve on her eyes for an infection and made her permanently blind. She lived to be 95. She got saved when she was 45. Didn't write her first hymn until she was 45 and wrote 9,000 blind. And Ira Sankey asked her one time, the song leader for Dwight L. Moody, and Ira Sankey was a great song leader and great singer for the Lord with Dwight L. Moody years, and he went blind too. He went blind as he got older, macular degeneration kind of deal. And him and Fanny Crosby got real close through the years at that time, and they used to sing and sit around the pen and sing, play. Man, couldn't you imagine sitting around here in Ira Sankey and Fanny Crosby playing and singing? I'd get raptured right there thinking about that. But Ira Sankey asked her one time if she had one prayer. One prayer God could grant, one prayer for her, what would it be? And sure, she thought, you know, knowing she's blind, you'd think, well, she would love to have her sight. She said, you know, if I had one prayer, she said, the thing I would pray is that I would have been born blind. He said, what's that? He said, just think, the first thing I'd ever see would be the face of Jesus Christ. Face to face, she wrote in that song. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'll preach a message here. I ought to speak to everybody here. I ought to speak to you pretty loud too, by the way. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, because I know things we go through, and I love the Bible. I'm a King James Bible believer through and through. I believe everything. I believe the cover. Cover says, my Bible says, Holy Bible. That's why I like it. I believe the cover. I believe everything about it, and God gives us so much stuff in this Bible. And it's just amazing what's in the Word of God. And it speaks to me. You think about how the Bible, the New Testament, is 2,000 years old. And the Old Testament, it goes back to 6,000. And still, it speaks to us today. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 says this, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle," that's talking about the body that you're living in, this house, earthly house that your soul's in, "and we know that our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a building of God," talking about your new body, "a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Talking about your new body, this body you're in. "For in this we groan," it says, "earnestly desiring to be clothed upon our house, which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we then are in this tabernacle," this body, "do groan, being burdened. Not for that which we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us this selfsame thing is God, who hath also given to us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we were at home in the body," that's with that tabernacle, "we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident," he said, "and I say, and willing rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." That's some great verses there in the Bible. And there's a lot of stuff in there. And the older we get, that this ought to speak to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it becomes more and more and more and more and more and more and more real to me. And the closer to home I get, the closer to heaven I'm getting ready to leave this world, the older I get, Miss Rachel, I'm going to tell you the more real 2 Corinthians chapter 5 becomes. "For this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have a house made in heaven, eternal in the heavens." And I'm going to give you a few thoughts about that. And the older you get, I'm going to tell you, the more this old earthly tabernacle gets dissolving and groaning and everything else. And we can all say amen, amen, and amen, and amen, and amen to what's going on right there. Because the older you get, the more you realize this thing's falling apart. I like an old song. I used to sing some here. I thought about singing it. "This old house once knew my children. Well, this old house once knew my wife." Talking about the body. "This old house was home and comfort as we fought the storms of life. This old house once rang with laughter. This old house heard many shouts.
Now it trembles in the darkness when the night wind walks about. Ain't gonna need this house no longer. Ain't gonna need this house no more. I ain't got time to fix the shingles. Ain't got time to fix the flow. Ain't got time to oil the hinges nor to mend the window pane. Ain't gonna need this house no longer. I'm getting ready to meet the Lord. Talk about this old house. And I'm going to give you a few things about 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And first of all, I want you to notice the first thing in the text there. There's the dwelling. And the Bible says this. It says, For we know if our earthly house of this tabernacle, what the Bible calls this dwelling that you and I live in, this body is called a tabernacle. He said of this earthly house of this tabernacle, we're dissolved, we have a building of God made in heaven, a house made not with hands, eternal in the heaven. You're looking at me, I'm not this body. I'm inside this body. I'm living inside this body. I'm dwelling inside this tabernacle. The Bible calls it a tabernacle. Well, I looked up the word tabernacle in your Bible, and it means a tent. It says this, a temporary habitation. In biblical language, the body is a temporary abode of the soul. You see this thing right here, my friend? It's just temporary. It's just a tabernacle, the Bible said. And the tabernacle is just a tent. It's a portable thing. God never meant for this body to be permanent. It's partial. It's temporary. Take your Bible. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. Show you that again. 2 Peter chapter 1. I want to say there's the dwelling that you and I live in. The Bible calls this body a tabernacle. You say why? Because it's just a tent. It's temporary. It's portal. God never meant for it to last eternity. It's portable. It's a tabernacle. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 12. Peter says this. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 12. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Watch it. Yea, I think it meet as long as I am in this tabernacle. I'm not the tabernacle. I'm inside of it. To stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that surely I must put off this tabernacle, that's this body, even as the Lord Jesus has showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able to abide after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. He said that decease, that death, you know what happened? He said, I'm going to lay out and put down and I'm going to leave this tabernacle. I want you to notice the first, the dwelling, this body is called a tabernacle. And it's temporary, it's not permanent. I want you to notice the second thing real quick in our text. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 1 says this. It says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I want you to notice the second thing in our text is the dissolved. There's the dwelling of this tabernacle, and the Bible said that this thing is dissolving. I looked up the word dissolve. It means dissolve. It means to melt. It means to disunite. It means to break. It means to waste away. It means to consume. You know what my body's doing this morning, Miss Martha? It's melting. It's melting. I look at my hands right now, and it's amazing. All the wrinkles. You know what I look like? My grandma used to look like. I remember looking at her, and I think, look at all, she's melting. You know what I'm doing? I'm wasting away, Miss Rachel. I'm dissolving right before your eyes. Every week I come in here, you know what? I've dissolved another week. There's the dissolve, it melts. And that's a perfect definition, by the way, of the aging of this body. You look at my face, you know what it's doing? It's melting. There's wrinkles where they usually didn't bring wrinkles. You know what it's doing? It's just melting and wrinkled and falling down and falling apart. And boy, if I took my shirt off, you really would see some melting. I mean, this thing is dissolving right before your eyes. Your bones are melting. They're getting smaller. They're shrinking. You have bone density. Your heart's getting melting. It's dissolving. Our face is melting. It's amazing how that thing does. Remember old Robert Redford? Y'all know him, don't you? I bet all you ladies were in love with him in the 70s, weren't you? He was a heart. Have you seen that guy lately? I mean, his face is so wrinkled. I mean, he has just looked, it just melted upon him, man. I mean, this old body, it may be pretty at 20 and 30 and 40, but I got news for you, bless God, friend. That thing is going to dissolve and start melting.
Like a little girl one time, she was about 5 years old, and she caught up in her granddaddy's lap and was sitting in his lap. And she was sitting in his lap, and she reached up there and felt his face, Miss Rachel. And Miss Liz, she run her fingers all over his face. And she said, "Grandpa, did God make you?" And he said, "Well, sure he did, honey. He made you." And then she went over there and she started rubbing her hands on her face. And it was smooth. And she said, "Grandpa, did God make me too?" And he said, "Sure, honey, he made you too." And she said, "He's getting a lot better at it, isn't he?" I got news for you. This thing's dissolving. I got news for you, friend. It's falling apart. I like a joke I heard one time about that fella. He's talking to his buddy one time and they're standing around. He was telling about his wife. He said, "You know my wife," she said, "she went to the beauty shop the other day." And the guy said, "Yeah." He said, "Yeah, she went and got one of them mud facials. Put mud on her. You women will do anything to try to keep young, you know." He said she got one of them mud facials. They put that mud all over. And the fella looked at him, he said, "Well, did it help her looks any?" He said, "Yeah, it helped a little bit, but then the mud fell off." You know what's happened to you? I want to tell you, it's dissolved and the mud is falling apart. I want to tell you, this earthly tabernacle been dissolved. It's just wrinkling and falling apart. November the 18th of this year, I saw it on the news. Morning news one morning, me and my wife, and I told her, I said, "Can you believe that? November the 18th was National Botox Day." You know what Botox is? I preached about Botox years ago. It's embalming fluid. It's the same stuff they put in people when they die to keep their face from moving. And you ever seen somebody all Botox? Their face don't even move. They're halfway dead, man. Just anything they can do to keep this thing from dissolving. Lady at church one time, she's there in church and she kept getting all these facelifts. You know, the Bible says over in Ephesians chapter 5, 27 that he might present a church, a glorious church, without having spot or wrinkle. And she kept having facelift. And finally, one of the people in the church said, "Sister, what are you spending all that money doing all that? Why do you keep having all those facelifts?" And she said, "Well, the Bible said that we might present ourselves without spot or wrinkle." She said, "I'm just trying to get all the wrinkles out." I got news for you. You're not going to get all the wrinkles out. There's a dissolve of this thing. I mean, you can stretch it, you can paste it, you can bondo it, you can paint it, you can put it, you can do everything you want to do, but I'm going to tell you the truth, Ruth, this thing is dissolving and melting away. You ever been around somebody you hadn't seen in about 30 years and you remember them back when they were 20 years old, and then you see them now and they're 60, and you look at them and you think, "My goodness gracious, what happened to you? Did you get hit with an ugly stick or something?" I tell you what happened to them. Same thing happened to you. They're dissolving. Miss Annie Mae, she cracks me up. She's funny. She's got a great sense of humor. And a few years ago, she got some new glasses. Remember that? She got some new glasses, and she hadn't had glasses in a while. She was telling us, she put them glasses on, and she looked over and saw Uncle Reuben, and she said, "Who are you?" She said, "I'm your husband." She said, "What happened to that man I married 50 years ago?" I tell you what happened. He's dissolving just like you and I are, man. Arnold Schwarzenegger is the greatest bodybuilder in history. He's known to have the perfect human body. He was Mr. Universe 5 times. He was Mr. Olympia 7 times. Had more awards than anybody else. At his prime, get this, his chest was 57 inches, Brother Robert, and his waist was 30 inches. His arms, Miss Rachel, they were 22 inches, man, nearly as big as his waist. That guy was something else, man. Years ago in 1975, I went to a prom, had a prom date here, and went to the prom, and it had a hotel downtown. Can't remember one of these swanky places, you know. And it's 1975, and we got lost looking for the ballroom or whatever it was there. And we went in the laundromat. We was looking for somebody to help us to tell us where it was at. And we went in there, Miss Martha, and there was a guy in there doing his laundry.
And that guy looked like a monster. He looked like the Hulk cartoon. Unbelievable. And I went in there and asked him, you know, where to go. And he had a heavy accent, you know. 1975. You know, I found out later who it was. It was Arnold Schwarzenegger. They were in Birmingham filming a movie of bodybuilding called Stay Hungry. Was the name of the movie, I think it was, Stay Hungry, and they filmed it in 1975 in Birmingham, and he was there. I found out later who. That guy was, man, oh man. You know what, I saw a picture of Arnold Schwarzenegger about 10 years ago with his kids, Miss Liz, walking on the beach. And Brother Ben, honest to goodness, I'm not lying. I'm dying. I look as good as he does right now. I'm serious. I mean, I'm telling you the truth. They showed him on the beach, and he just flabby everything, just, you know, flat all over. Hey, man, you can pump it up, you can do all that stuff, but I got news for you. This thing is dissolving right before your eyes. Arnold Schwarzenegger's had three heart valve replacement surgeries like my wife's had. He had the first one from pulmonary valve replacement. That's the valve between the heart and the lung. And he had that replaced first time in 1997. He had it redone 2018. Then 2020, he had his aortic valve. He had three heart valves replaced. Listen, you can pump it up. You can wax it up. You can do all that stuff. But I got news for you. This old body, this tabernacle that God puts you in, it's dissolving. It's dissolving. Number one, there's a dwelling. Number two, there's a dissolving. Look at our text. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It says this. For we know that of our earthly house of this tabernacle we're dissolved. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Watch it. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed by our house which is from heaven. If so be that ye be clothed, ye shall not be found naked. For in this tabernacle we do groan, being burdened. I want to say there's a dwelling, there's a dissolve, and there's the discomfort of this thing. And verse says, for in this we groan. For we groan, and if we're in this tabernacle, we groan, being burdened. You know what this body of flesh does? It groans and it moans. And the older you get, the more you know it. I heard one time, remember the good old days? When snap, crackle, and pop were sounds coming from your cereal, now they're the sounds when you get out of bed, your body's making. That's the truth. There's the discomfort. This body of flesh, the older it gets, it groans and it moans and groans and moans. And there's the discomfort. God puts you in this thing. You got to be careful nowadays. Boy, I get older now. I'm 65, about 66, Brother Robert. I have to be careful just going down and picking something up. I remember a while back, I just went over and grabbed a medicine bottle, just a medicine bottle, and my back hurt for 3 days, Miss Rachel. What is it? It's the dissolve and discomfort of this body. It just keeps wearing out and wearing out. Sleeping is a trial just to get up without groaning and moaning. I woke up November the 26th. This year, about a month and a half ago, woke up November the 26th, Brother Ben, and I had the bad pain in the back of my neck and my shoulder. And the next thing you know, my old arm, I can't hardly move it. And the next thing you know, when I turn it this way or that way, Miss Martha, it tingles and it goes to sleep and the nerves go through. And I thought, my goodness, what's going on? I didn't do nothing but go to sleep. My wife or Sarah come in there and beat me or something. I mean, you got to be careful when you go to sleep. It groans and moans. I looked it up on the internet. Finally figured out. You know what I got? I got a ruptured disc in the neck. And that ruptured disc is pressing against that nerve and making that thing. It's a lot better now. They say it usually heals 95% of the time in 6 weeks or so. It's doing a lot better. But I mean, just sleep. I mean, it goes from a pain in the hip, a pain in the leg, a pain in the arm, a pain in the hand, a pain in the finger. It goes from a toothache to a stomachache to a headache. I mean, this body, there's a discomfort, or in this tabernacle, we do groan. We groan earnestly, being desired. Miss Janet, one time, a doctor asked her one time, remember, she's talking, she has a lot of pain and stuff. Shoulders and leg and had a knee transplant and all kind of stuff, you know. And doctor asked her, where does it hurt? And she said, doc, it'd be better to ask where it doesn't hurt. be a whole lot easier to answer, wouldn't it, Miss Martha? It'd be a whole lot easier. I like that joke one time. You know, the guy goes to the doctor and he said, "Doc, it hurts when I do this." And the doc said, "Well, don't do that. That'll be $10. Pay on the way out." Well, you know, when you get older, that's kind of a joke, but that's the solution. The solution is, when you get older, just don't do that. You can't do what you used to do. There's a discomfort in this body. There's a dissolve. A lot of times, there's not a whole lot doctors can do, can they? We went, by Esther, when we went to the doctor here a while back, Dr. Robbins, he's a nice guy. And she was, when she broke up with that clavic, Dr. Pound wasn't there, Miss Rachel, so we went to see Dr. Robbins. And she was all broke out and all that. We wanted to see a doctor. And we went and see him. He said, "Yep, I believe you're allergic to that." What he said. And I said, "Well, you think there's anything?" He said, I said, "What can we do?" He said, "I don't know." He was honest. "I don't know." He gave us some steroids. We done got messed up with that. We didn't take any of those. We didn't fool with that. But he said, "I ain't got the slightest idea, to be honest with you, what to do." Hey, you know what? This thing is dissolving. It's discomfort. A lot of times there's just nothing they can do. That Bible said, "For we are groaning and moaning, being burdened," the Bible says. I sing that song, "Wore Out." You know why people like that song, "Wore Out"? Because they're wore out. When we get to heaven with Jesus our King, 10 million years and still fresh as a spring, we'll be happy and free, and our bodies will never be wore out. You know, most of the hymns we sing in these song books, you know what they're dealing with, a lot of them? They're dealing with discomfort. They're dealing with this flesh and the things that we go through and trying to provide comfort to it. Brother Earl, bless his heart, boy, he's been through a lot of things. I mean, he has a lot of back problems. Y'all don't know that, but he has a lot of back problems. And when he comes here, we get a hotel for him up in Gadsden where he likes. And he goes up there in that hotel. And one of the things he always asks is, "Make sure they get me a jacuzzi." He said, "I got to have a jacuzzi, because when I get through," he's in pain the whole time he's up here preaching, whether you know it or not. He said, "As soon as I leave here," he said, "I got to go get in that jacuzzi and soak for about 2 hours. My back hurts so bad." He's got pancreatitis. One time we got through preaching, I said, "Brother Earl," I said, "you go get something to eat or something?" He said, "I can't go eat nothing. I'm having some problems." He said, "I'm on a liquid diet." I said, "Well, you want to go, just go get a Coke or something?" He said, "When I say liquid," he said, "Brother Terry, I'm talking about water." He said, "I got bad pancreatitis." He went through a hernia operation a couple of years ago and had to get back on the road. They said, "Wait 6 weeks." He got back on the road in about 2 weeks and he is preaching and bleeding where that stitches and stuff was. About 3 or 4 months ago, I was telling you, he is up preaching and his appendix ruptured while he's preaching. Not a good thing. And he got peritonitis, infection all in there. They had to clean it out. And they told him he'd be out of pocket for 8 weeks. He said, "There's no way I'm going to be back preaching." He told me, he said, "Brother, after 6 weeks, I decided I'm going back on the road." And he said, "I got up and got tried to go. And God showed me real quick, you're not going anywhere." When I talked to him last week, he said, "This is the first week he's preaching in Maine that I've been able to preach." He said, "That thing knocked me down." You know what it is? It's a discomfort. This thing's falling apart. It's ruptured appendages. It's tendonitis. It's sinusitis. It's fevers. It's sore throat. It's one thing. It's torn meniscus. It's one thing after the other. You say, "What is it?" It's a discomfort in this tabernacle. And you know what I figured out years ago? That God don't want you too comfortable in this thing. As you get older and this thing starts falling apart, you know what God wants you to do? He wants you to get heavenly minded. "I'm getting ready to leave this world. What a day that'll be." God wants you to get you to the place where you're not comfortable down here, that you can get ready to get out. And let me tell you, I'm ready to get out. This old house, it keep on leaning. I got to move to a better home. Well, these old bones that keep on aching, I got to move to a better home. Oh, these old footsteps are getting slower. I got to move to a better home. These old eyes are getting dimmer. And I've got to move to a better home. Well, these old ears are getting duller. I got to move to a better home. and this old back, it keeps on aching. I got to move to a better home. There's a discomfort of this whole body. And God, every once in a while, I believe He just stirs up our nest. Says, hey, I'm getting you ready. Get home. Bible talks about Deuteronomy chapter 32 over there. Talking about how the Lord deals with Israel. Jacob, He says, an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them. And you know what? He said over there, an eagle stirs up her nest. Brother Lester Roloff, the great evangelist, he's got a message on that, how the eagle's stirring up her nest. How that God in this life, you know what God will do? He'll stir up your nest in times. That mother eagle, what she'd do? She'd make that nest, Miss Liz, and she'd get fur in there, and she'd get leaves in that nest, and she'd get feathers in that nest, Miss Martha, and brother, that nest would be so comfortable, brother Ben, it'd be more comfortable than any Posturepedic mattress on earth, and she'd have that thing so comfortable, and them little eagles would lay in that old thing and just sleep. Boy, this is good stuff. Man, I could stay in this old nest all day, couldn't you? Brother Roloff, he animates it. Yeah, boy, I sure do like in this my nest, don't you? That thing sure is comfortable. And after a while, you know what that mother eagle will do? She'll go in there and start removing some of that fur. She'll start removing some of the stuff that makes it soft. And after a while, them old little eagles will wake up and say, whew, whew, I didn't sleep too good last night. Something kept sticking me in the back. I don't know what's going on. Man, that's just something kept sticking me. You know what she does? She gets them ready to leave that nest. After a while, those little eagles say, whew, whew, I didn't sleep good. My head hurt. Man, something kept poking me in the back all night. If it don't get better than this, hey, I'm just going to fly away and leave this old nest. You know what God does? He gets you and makes this thing in a discomfortable and stirs your nest up as you get older so that you'll get ready to leave the nest and fly away. Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away. Just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away. God gets you that way so you're ready to go. I'm getting ready to leave this world. Psalm chapter 90 verse 10 says this. It's a great verse. The days of our years are 70. That's 70. And if by reason of strength we be 80 years, it said even we're strong enough to make it 80. And it says this. Yet is there strength, labor and sorrow. It says, hey, you might get that old, you may go there, but I got news for you. It's going to be laborious and it's going to be sorrow you're going to go through as you get older. In the next part of this verse, it says this, for it is soon cut off and we shall fly away. That's what that Bible talks about. Hey, you may keep going, but there's going to be sorrow, there's going to be labor and pour along. You'll be ready to get out of this thing and fly away. There's the discomfort. There's the dissolve of this thing. I'll tell you something else I like about this. There's the desiring. Look what it said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 says this. Look how it starts off. For we know that of our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved as a building. We have a building of God, a house made without hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. Come down to verse 6. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we're home, the body we're absent from the Lord. Verse 8. For we are confident, I say willing, rather to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. There's that desire. It said earnestly desiring to be clothed. Listen, there's the dissolve and the discomfort. And brother, let the comfort get in. You know what? You get ready to go home. And if you don't know it, that Bible said, for we know, if you don't know it, you probably don't own it. I'm glad I don't have to live together forever in this body. I thank God, Miss Martha, this thing's temporary. I thank God this thing is about ready to move on. I thank God I got some mountain. I'm earnestly desiring, and I know it's there, and I'm not a bit afraid of it. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, real quick. Romans chapter 8. There's the desiring. Romans chapter 8. We groan. We groan. And we moan. And we're earnestly desiring this body. I'm looking for something better than the discomfort. God gets you heaven bound. Romans 8:22 says this, for we know that the whole creation... Romans 8:22, we know. Remember that 1 Corinthians 5:1 says, for we know. We know. You ought to know it. For we know, verse 22, Romans 8:22, we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, when we ourselves grow within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. That thing says we're groaning and we're waiting and we're looking for the redemption. We're looking for that new body. Because this one groans and it moans and it dissolves and it discomforts. And the older you get, if you're saved, the more you ought to be desiring. There ought to be a desiring. You know what that Bible said? It didn't say desire. But it said this. For in this we groan, in 2 Corinthians 5:2, earnestly desiring. It don't say desire. It says desiring. You say, what's the difference? Desiring is an action verb. It means it keeps going. It means it's every day. It means every minute. Every minute we're earnestly desiring to be clothed with our house from heaven. I tell you, I'm looking forward to it. I told you about Fanny Crosby and Miss Martha. She said she was born blind. The first thing she'd ever see would be the face of Jesus Christ. I mean, I know Miss Martha has the same problem I've got. I've got bad tinnitus. She's got it too. And bad tinnitus is ringing in your ears. I've got a loud ringing in my ears. I'm 80% deaf. At the high range. Probably more than that. That was the last time Pastor's Clinic tested me about 10 years ago. They said I was 80% deaf. That's why I can't hear women's voices very well. A higher pitch, man's, I can hear better. But a certain one, because this ringing is so loud in my ears, it cancels it out. I can't hear you. And it never stops, does it, Miss Martha? Never stops. I mean, something gets worse. And it gets worse. Sometimes you lay in bed, you can't hardly sleep. It's one of the number one reasons that people go on disability is tinnitus. And that thing rings. I mean, it's a loud pitch and it never stops. And I've had it, far as I know, pretty much most of my life. I probably got it from playing rock music through the years. I don't ever remember not having it. I was thinking about Miss Fanny Crosby talking about the first thing she'd see, the face of Jesus Christ. And Miss Martha, you know what? The first clear, pure sound I'm ever going to hear, Miss Rachel, is going to be probably the voice of Jesus Christ. I'm going to have this sound and this tinnitus and this discomfort till the day I die. And brother, I'm earnestly desiring one day, Miss Martha, to hear that pure, clear sound. Welcome home. I'm earnestly desiring, if you're saved this morning, that ought to be you too. For we know. I like what Brother Robert said that time, told you before, and it's a classic. And you know, people here know Brother Robert. You can imagine him saying it. And Brother Robert Mills, and he's in his 80s now, and has an AFib pretty bad. And he wanted to come to the hospital to do some tests for his AFib. And he was working at the time, body work, at his shop. And then a lady called him and said, you need to come to the emergency room right now. And he said, lady, I ain't got time to go to the emergency room right now. I got work to do. She said, you don't understand, Mr. Mills. She said, if you don't get to the emergency room soon, you might not even survive. You might die. And he said, lady, that's the best news I've heard all day. You know what that is? That's a saved man that's earnestly desiring to be clothed with his house. Brother David Beard, that came here, went home to be the Lord a couple of years ago. Been 17 years in prison. Y'all know Brother David came to this church and went home to be the Lord a couple of years ago.
had hepatitis C from years, from shooting up dope, years, years of shooting up that dope. His kidneys were down to about 20%. His kidneys were so bad they couldn't do a transfusion or dialysis or anything like most people. And he had had hepatitis C, had diabetes real bad. He had cellulitis in his legs. And his legs would swell up like an elephant's legs. And those legs, it'd swell up. And I've seen it. Some of you have seen it. And they'd crack open. It'd be a big gate, a crater like in his leg, Miss Martha. And it'd just crack open in blood. And it'd be full of pus. And I remember one time he went to the store and the pharmacy and got him a big needle and took it, got that pus out himself. And I saw it, man. I mean, he was taking so much pus out, he was filling jars with pus. He was hurting so bad. And I remember praying with him and I asked the church to pray. Pray, Brother Terry, pray God to take me home. Pray God to take me home. I'm hurting. I'm ready to go. There's a discomfort. There's a desiring of this body. I told the church about the last month before he went home. I said, pray God to take old David home. He's ready to go home. Earnestly desiring. Paul said in Philippians 1:23, he said, I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. There's that earnestly desiring. There's the dwelling. There's the dissolve. There's the discomfort. There's that desire. I tell you something else in there. Take your Bible. This is my favorite part of the message, by the way, right here. Look what it says. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that our earthly tabernacle, I know. If the earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we had a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with a house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked, and we are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened not for that which would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Watch this. Now he that hath wrought us for the self same thing as God, watch this, this is good, which also hath given unto us the earnest of his Spirit. Woo! There's the dissolve, the discomfort, there's the desire, but there's the deposit in the down payment God put in us. He hath given us the earnest of the Spirit. And verse 6 says, therefore, that word therefore means what I just told you, therefore. We are always confident knowing that while we were at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. There's that deposit. There's that down payment God gave us that we know, that we got a new body. That word earnest is a good Bible word. Found in your King James Bible, the new perversions, they take it out. They don't know what they're talking about. Earnest money is a financial term. Earnest money is a deposit or a down payment made on a future purchase. That's what it means. That means when you want to buy a house and you say a house worth $100,000 or something, they'll say you got some earnest money and people put down $5,000. That means you're earnest. That means you're going to finish paying for it. And God put the Holy Ghost of God in me and you, and He said that's your down payment. That's that earnest money. That's that deposit that tells you the best is yet to come. That's God telling you, for we know. Why it says, therefore, we can always confident, knowing we can know it. It's what Brother Wesley preached about, Miss Martha. It means to hold on to your fork. The best is yet to come. And God put that down payment, that earnest in our spirit, in you and I, that we know. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, go to Ephesians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In Ephesians chapter 1, there's that down payment. God put that in you. That's one reason when I sing that song, what a day that'll be, man, my feet get kind of light. That's one reason when I sing that song, I'm getting ready to leave this world, heaven's jubilee. Man, I just kind of get kind of light. Man, my feet feel like I'm just a little bit off the ground. You say, why? Because there's something in me that says, hey! The best is yet to come. And some in me says, hey, hold on to that fork because the best is yet to come. And that's that down payment God put in me. I got something in me, brethren. It's called earnest.
is a deposit. The Holy Ghost of God came in me when I got saved. And He's that earnest. He's that down payment. He's that deposit in me. Brother, that tells me the best is yet to come. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says this. For all the promises, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20 says, for all the promises of God in Him are yea, talking about Jesus in Him, amen, under the glory of God by us. Now He which established us with you in Christ hath anointed us as God, who hath also sealed us and hath given us, given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. You know what God did? He put that down payment inside you to let you know this thing has more to come, that He's waiting for the purchase possession. He gave you the earnest money. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. This is good. God says, hey, I'll put that earnest down there. That's that down payment. There's that old body. It's dissolving. It's a discomfort, no doubt about it. And there's the desire, because God put a down payment in me. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory, first trusted in Christ, in whom also you trusted. After you heard the word of truth, this is salvation, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed. Look at it. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. God sealed you when you got saved, who is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. I want to say, woo! I want to say, hallelujah! I want to say, woo! It's the earnest not put there until the purchase for redemption. You know, I can get excited this morning. You say, why? God put a down payment in me. And you ought to have that this morning. If you don't have that, there's something wrong. You ought to know, for this we know, for we know that of His earthly tabernacle, we're dissolved. We have a home in heaven made without hand, eternal in the heaven. You ought to know that. If you don't know that, something's wrong. I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of it. You say, why? I know exactly what's going on. God put something in me. And that down deposit and that down payment, what a day that'll be when my Jesus I shall see. That's why all them songwriters sing that. Fanny Crosby wrote that song, Face to Face with Christ my Savior. What a day that'll be. You say, why? Because that earnest of the Spirit. For we know there's a deposit. There's that down payment. Billy Graham went home to believe the Lord a couple years ago. He was 99 years old. And he was a good preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, you know. And he stayed true to it. He didn't get involved in the politics and all the nonsense. He stayed integrity. Old Billy Graham did, and I appreciate that. He said this one time in an interview, I'm looking forward to death. I'll be very happy to get out of this body and into the new world that's been prepared. It'll be a feeling of tremendous joy and relief and rest. That's the way, if you're saved this morning, you ought to be looking forward to that day with great anticipation. He said in a 1994 interview with Life magazine, Billy Graham said, do I fear death? No. I look forward to death with great anticipation. I'm looking forward to seeing God face to face. And he said, that can happen any day. That's what he's saying. There's that down payment God put in you. That thing ought to be so real, it's unbelievable. That ought to be that earnest of the Spirit God put in your hearts that tells you there's something better yet to come. And I'll just give you one more thing real quick. There's the dissolve. There's the dwelling. There's the discomfort. There's that desiring. There's that down payment. And there's the departure. There's the departure. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that's why we are home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. Verse 8, for we are confident, and I say willing. Paul said, I'm willing. Willing rather to be absent from the body than to be present for the Lord. There's a departure. One day this soul will leave your body. Just like that. It says about over in Genesis chapter 35 about Rachel. She died giving birth. And the Bible says this, it came to pass as her soul was in departing, for she died. There's a departure. One day, that soul will leave your body. And there's a departure. Paul said in Philippians 1:23, he said, I'm going to stray betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. There's a departure one day. You're going to leave this body, the soul, and leave. And you ought to know, you ought to know, you ought to know, you ought to know, you ought to know where you're going. There ought to be that earnest of the Spirit so loud in you, greater than this earth.
Paul got through his life. He said, I fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I finished my course. He said, therefore, he said this, I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. He was beheaded shortly after that. There's a departure. One day this thing's going to leave. And one day, my friend, it'll be over. Be over. See, we're dwelling in this tabernacle. You're not this tabernacle. This body is what you're walking around in. And it's dissolving. It's falling apart. It's crumbling every day. Every day. Every day we hear somebody in the hospital praying for somebody. There's a discomfort of it. God don't want you controlling this thing. He wants you to get you thinking about Him. Brother Jim White, I just heard a message in the radio on my car a while back this week called The Reality of Death. You know what God wants you to get? He wants you to make death real, to let you know this thing is about over. And He wants that down payment. You got that down payment? You got that deposit of earnest of the Spirit? You got that desiring? Because the departure's coming. Departure's coming. Take your hymn books. Let's turn to page 62 where my wife sung. I'm going to ask her to sing it again for us this morning. Look at this song. Fanny Crosby, just ask you can sing along with her. Or just look at the words 62 in the green book. What a song. What a song. And that song like to never been published. That song was of all the... She wrote 9,000 hymns, Fanny Crosby did. And of all the hymns she ever wrote, page 62 in there was her special song. That was the song that was most precious to her than any other song. It comes out of a part of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. But one time she is in a meeting with Dwight L. Moody. And Dwight L. Moody asked her... She's out in the audience, Miss Rachel. When he asked her, he said, Miss Crosby, Miss Fanny, would you stand up and give us a word of testimony? Would you give us a word of testimony? Here's what she said. She said, there's one hymn I have written which I've never published. She said, I call it my soul's poem. Sometimes when I'm troubled, I repeat it to myself, for it brings such comfort to my heart. And she stood up. She had a very high soprano voice, a beautiful voice, they said. She stood up in that meeting a cappella.